The following podcast contains explicit language and content that may not be suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, my name is Andres.
And I'm Kevin.
And welcome to the Guestbooky Podcast, where two married guys share stories of paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world. Welcome, and we hope you had a Merry Christmas. We're switching up the intro this time.
Yeah, that's okay.
A little bit. I'm glad you ran with it. I was like, hopefully it doesn't
it did kind of throw me off, but that's okay.
Yeah. So
it's okay to mix things up every so often.
Yeah. Well, we hope that our primos, primas, and primes had a fantastic Christmas, whether you celebrate Christmas or not. And then you got to spend time with people that are important to you, whether that's family or chosen family or no family at all, because that's okay too. Your fur babies. Hopefully you got a gift for your fur babies. Yep. Maybe a six-tier...
cat tree.
Cat tree that's $1,000. That seems adequate. Maybe you put in a system where your cats can go outside and inside the house, and it's like a cage that they walk around on the outside, and they come back in for $3,000. We hope you can afford that and did that for your animals.
I need one for me, actually.
You know what? Sometimes I wonder, we're always talking about, like, everybody has, like, the standard pets. Like, they've got dogs and cats. We've got a couple of primos and primas that have, like, a snake. Mm-hmm. But what other interesting pets might our cousins have?
One of those, like, flying squirrels.
Please tell us. Please message us on Instagram and tell us what interesting pet that is not common that you have.
Yeah.
If you've got a ferret, let us know. If you've got a beaver, let us know. We want to know.
A spider. I'm sorry. I can't look at spiders. But any other animal, yeah, that's fine. We would like to see them.
Yes, your primos want to know. I was actually working the other day, and I was wondering, and I was like... You know, we always reference, like, the dogs and cats, and I'm like, but I wonder what other interesting pets our primos, primas, and primes have.
We reference these two dumb bitches against our will because they knock over things while we're recording.
They really do. Like, okay, so, guys, you need to understand, guys, gals, and pals, like, you need to understand that, like, the amount of times we have to stop recording because Leo and Venus pull the cat bowls. Mm-hmm. Or they run around the house and fight with each other, or they're meowing at us and pawing at us to, like, pet them. Mm-hmm. Is, I mean, if we got a dollar for every time it happened, we would be rich by now. We wouldn't have to do the podcast.
I do my best to edit it, and usually I'm, like, really good at it, but there are some times when I'm like, I can't. And there have been a few times when, like, I cut the audio to, like, cut out us yelling at them, but you can still, like, somehow hear their bowl, like, scraping in the background. But it's like, I cut it off, and it's kind of an awkward cut, so it's just like, it just kind of cuts.
It's because Leo doesn't know how to slow down when he eats, so when he eats, or before we got a slow feeding bowl, he would eat so quickly that he would throw up every time.
Yep.
After he ate.
Every time.
And so we had to get a slow feeding bowl, which is like, it has shapes inside of it, and the kibbles fall in between the shapes. So they have to, like, pull or, like, paw it out.
For their lives.
They have to use their little paw and pull one little piece out and then...
What did you call it?
Munch it. Huh?
What did you call it?
The shapes?
No, the food.
Kibble?
Kibble.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that
word. Yeah, it's dry food. So it's like little kibble bits.
I know it as croquetas.
Come croquetas, perra.
Yeah, like, to me... And I think there's an English equivalent word. But that means, like, human food.
Yeah, right? Croquettes.
That's human food.
Yeah, those are, like, French. Anyways.
Sorry.
So
it just threw me off. Kibble. I've never heard that word before.
So the bottom of the bowls used to have, like, grippies. So when they pulled the bowl to get the food out, like, they didn't slip. Well, obviously, like, if a cat is pulling on the bowl every single day for more than a year, the slippy things fall off. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, that bowl is just raw dogging the floor. And so when they're, like, pulling the kibble out, it's like, of them just pulling the fucking, the little kibbles out. And it's so annoying sometimes. So, but anyways, we hope you all had a great time. I think I'm just going to jump into the story. We're a little bit in. But I want to go ahead and say that there's some content warning. Oh, first, do you have anything? Do you want to talk about anything before we get into it?
No, I have a feeling that your story is intense. So I'm going to save myself to the very end. But I'm really curious about what case you want to bring to us as the last case of 2023.
Okay, so interesting. I don't know, like, after I did the research for this, I'm like, what is my obsession with men that are obsessed with hurting women that aren't doing anything?
We hate to see it.
It really, like, women will just be, like, sitting there in a chair, and it's like a man is like,
get threatened.
I'm gonna fucking punch you. And it's like, for what? She's literally just sitting there. Oh, there she is.
Brother.
There she is.
She's like, attention.
Attention here. And yeah, it started. Yeah. Don't edit that out. I want people to hear it.
Okay.
I want her primas and primas to hear it. But, so yeah, I do want to note that there is some content warnings on what I'm about to talk about. It's violence against women, feminicide, cannibalism, gore, abuse, and alcoholism.
Those are literally all my least favorite things.
Yeah.
You just miss spiders.
Have you heard of El Carnicero de Atitzpan? This is a very recent case.
It sounds familiar.
Okay. Do you want me to just get into it?
What's my other option?
No? The other option is I just get into it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I don't want to guess because this already sounds bad.
Andrés Filomeno Mendoza Celis was born on November 19th, 1947 in Cimatlán de Álvarez, Oaxaca.
Wait, are you going to describe what carnicero means?
Oh, it's a butcher.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to reference it later.
Ah, okay.
But his name is the Butcher of Atitzpan. That's literally what... he's also known by, like, the Monster of Atitzpan.
I can already tell I'm going to hate this.
Okay. So, Andrés Filomeno Mendoza Celis was born on November 19th, 1947 in Cimatlán de Álvarez, Oaxaca. It is scary how little information there is about this man's upbringing. So little, in fact, that a psychologist made it her mission to really find out why this man had done what he did. Feggy Otroski, a graduate in psychology with a master's in communication disorder and a doctorate in biomedicine from UNAM, is the doctor that took this on. She had analyzed several psychopaths at this point in her career, but no one like Andrés Filomeno Mendoza Celis. And she quotes, "He succeeds in deceiving you. It doesn't seem like he can do any harm. He looks into your eyes and even seems shy. In this case with Andrés, I did not find any history of abuse. It wasn't that he had a perfect childhood either. I looked at a lot of his photos. They included his mother and siblings. There was always four men and one woman in all the photos, which was his family, his immediate family. He stated that his father was his role model. His dad dedicated himself to allocating funds and obtaining grants for the town where he lived. He was very involved in politics and his local government. It wasn't anything like he was voted into office in, like, a really big position, but it was always, like, in local government. He was very well known around his town.
Okay.
So, Andrés claimed that his father would often get drunk with mezcal and get physically abusive with him and his brothers. He was violent when he had a few shots in him, but Andrés states that he had never stopped admiring his dad. Aside from his dad teaching him everything that he knew about politics, he was crucial in creating his double life. Get ready. He would pretend to help the community on the outside, and this is referencing Andrés, but behind closed doors, he was a completely different person. Feggy Otroski says, he most likely had a mom that was very submissive. His father was physically abusive when he was drunk on occasion, but there is no long-term history of physical or mental abuse that she could find. His father died at around 40 years old from a poisoning, and no one really knows what poisoned him, who poisoned him, or why he died.
What?
Interesting, right?
Uh-huh.
There is no further information about the death of this man.
They he just died from glossed a, that over
He
so
died
fast.
From a poisoning. Interesting. So, sometime in the early 1980s, he moved to Atitzpan de Zaragoza in the state of Mexico, which is, I think, like, northern Mexico City, right? It's, like, right outside Mexico City.
I don't know. I don't think I know the geography enough to comment. What's it called?
Atitzpan de Zaragoza.
It's in the state of Mexico.
Okay.
So state of Mexico is different than Ciudad de Mexico.
Yeah.
It's kind of like DC is its own entity. And then the state that it's in is its own entity.
But how far is it away?
Not too far.
Okay.
Here's the picture. The red is the city. This little weird blob, that's Ciudad de Mexico.
Okay. So it was like, it's on the northern part of the city. Because in a lot of the research that I did, it referenced that he would drive between Atitzpan, Mexico City, and Oaxaca. Like, really, like, often. He was always traveling between those three places. So that's why I was like, I'm sure that it's close.
Oh, yeah. It's close.
Yeah. So, he worked for many years as a livestock butcher for human consumption at Tlalnepantla. He worked for many years as a livestock butcher for human consumption in Tlalnepantla. This is a morbid opinion people have, but they think they consider this where he gained his experience to butcher people so well because he had so much practice on actual livestock for so many years.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, you're kind of giving it away of... What's
happening? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In 2009, Andres opened his own butcher shop in Atitzpan. It is said that he sold human meat at this point on various occasions out of his butcher shop.
What the fuck?
Of course, none of his clients knew this and unknowingly purchased and also consumed this meat. It's going to start getting morbid.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What year did he open this?
2009.
So this is relatively recent.
I told you it was relatively recent. Yes, it gets a little crazy. In 2015, he was elected into a small seat of office in his neighborhood, just like his dad. He prepared over 600 tamales for an event. No one to this day knows whether those tamales were prepared with beef, pork, or human meat.
What the fuck?
They still talk about it in that community till this day. Because that was, what, 7-8 years ago? 2005? 2015? I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. 2000.
When he made the tamales was in 2015. So that happened very recently.
Oh, yeah.
So people in that community still talk about, what the fuck did we eat?
Yeah, that was 6 years ago.
6 years ago. So it, Jesus, man. It's getting a little crazy.
Did it? I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No.
I'll save my questions till later.
Okay.
I mean, if anyone hears something like that, I have many questions, but I'll save them till later.
Okay. A lot of his neighbors really liked him and referred to him as El Chino because of his curly hair. He seemed to be a solitary man that never bothered anyone. He participated a lot in his local community and was well known by everyone in the neighborhood. Neighbors remember that his only vice was that he liked to drink a little too often and a bit too heavily. Even though he drank, his neighbors thought that he was never outwardly rude, rowdy, or caused a scene, so no one really thought that this was a big problem and kind of just left him alone. His neighbors remember that after he sold his butcher shop, he seemed to always be in possession of a lot of meat. They talked about how he was always offering his neighbors cuts of meat, claiming that they were wild boar, and that they were brought to him by someone living in Oaxaca. Him being in the meat industry previously, no one gave it a second thought. Many people think that this was him getting rid of evidences of his crime. So what he would give meat away in the town that he lived in. Mm-hmm. And then when he would visit Oaxaca, he would say that he got the meat in Atitzpan. So like it was like he was telling people from Atitzpan that he was getting it from Oaxaca. And Oaxaca, he was telling he was getting it from Atitzpan. And it was always wild boar, and it was very gamey, and the meat was, like, always kind of like a mystery meat, but people liked it. So they were like, eating it. This all came to a head recently in 2021. Andres had a very good friendship with a local woman named Reina Gonzalez, to the point that he was at their house often enough that he would always be invited to their family parties. Reina worked at her cell phone business and often invited Andres to run errands, and keep in mind that he was born in the 40s, so by this time, he's, like, really old. He's an older man.
Born in the 40s, so he...
This is 2021.
Like, 80?
Yeah.
Late 70s?
Yep, he was very old at this point. So it wasn't uncommon that Reina called her husband and told her that her and Andres were headed into Mexico City to purchase several supplies for her business. She was kind of like getting ready to kind of revamp her business and put some new stuff out. And so she was like, okay, we're going to head into the city. He offered to come with me, so don't worry. He's going to be with me. Mm-hmm. Well, on May 14th, 2021, they both went downtown to buy material to replenish Reina's business. However, she never returned home after that.
Oh, my God.
Desperate to find his wife, Bruno Angel Portillo, a municipal police chief in the state of Mexico, began the search on his own by reviewing public security videos to learn about Reina's last steps. Since the videos did not fully reveal the woman's last whereabouts, Bruno tracked the location of his wife's cell phone using an app, which took him to Andres Mendoza's home. The police officer gained access to the property as best he could. There, he found Reina's dismembered remains. In an act of desperation, Bruno contacted the police to report the discovery. This is how he began the task of investigating Andres Mendoza's past. The property where Andres Mendoza lived has nothing striking. It's characterized by extensive disorder. He was like a hoarder, and it lacked hygiene. They said that it smelled really bad. Like, some of the rooms smelled like piss or animal feces. Like, something was off. Copper smells, like penny smells, like sometimes there was like bleach smells. Like, it just smelled really weird in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also what happened is that what I think was weird is that he was renting a lot of his rooms out to people that would stay with him. And none of those people that rented rooms out ever reported anything weird happening in the house. And the reason why I say that is, just get ready, I'm about to tell you something. So he literally had people coming in and out, renting rooms from his house. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever like said anything about the mess. Nobody ever said anything about the smells. Nobody reported like just people being in the house that weren't supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, after Reina's body was found, the police and experts unearthed thousands of bones, the vast majority belonging to women, a few were boys, and a few men. Mendoza was a frequenter of committing femicide.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his MO was. It was so crazy. Like, he would lure women and then kill them in his house, which is why I said, like, nobody ever said anything. Nobody that stayed with him ever, like, noticed anything or said anything, or maybe just hid it. But he killed a lot of people, which is why
Nobody said anything because the victims were women, as if, like, they didn't care enough to report it?
No one knows. Like, nobody said anything.
Uh-huh.
He ended up being a very prolific femicide, like, femicide doer person. Like, he killed mostly exclusively women. And no one really knows, like,
Did no one, like, report people missing? Because, like, if it were so many people, usually, with that many people going missing, someone would have said something. Well,
how many femicides per year happen in Mexico? Nobody does anything.
That's true.
Like, there were all women that were going missing. Like, obviously, of course, their family was like, hey, my daughter's missing. But it's like, the police don't give a fuck. You just did that case very recently.
Yeah, Maricela Escobedo. Yep. That's just giving me, like, flashbacks to that.
Yes, very much so. The precise number of victims so far remains a mystery. But they may be enough to consider him the most prolific serial killer in the country to this point. In the interrogations to which he was subjected, he confessed that he ate the flesh of a lot of his victims. The way this man convinced women to come to his home was varied. Some of his strategies was to offer jobs or present themselves as a facilitator of social programs, just like his dad, which can be a hook for people looking for an improvement in their lives, as it occurs in their area or the state of Mexico, where poverty can become extreme. So he would like lure people and say, hey, like, I'm doing this community project, I need you to help me, can you come back to my house?
So he would take advantage of their like financial situation.
Yes, he was basically promising them, like, I can get a grant or I can get money for this neighborhood, I just need you to help me, like, we need to plan out the campaign or what we're gonna do. Mm-hmm. And he would lure, and obviously, like, this area here where he lives is a low-income area,
mm-hmm.
especially considered for, like, Mexico City. Like, it's a lower-income area, or Atitzpan. And I keep saying Mexico City, but this is Atitzpan, but where this happened was a very low-income area.
Hold on. The city is called Atizapan?
Yeah.
You keep saying it differently, that's why.
Atitzpan?
Atizapan.
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 El Mazapan.
Atizapan de Zaragoza. Is that what it's called? Okay.
Everyone in all the interviews just shorten it to Atizapan. Or Atizapan. Like, that's what they called it.
Okay.
Nobody ever said the Zaragoza part.
I know. That's, like, the legal name, I guess. But I'm just saying, like, you're saying it differently each time. So I'm like, which one's the right way then?
Oh, sorry. But, where was I?
Convincing or trying to lure people into his house.
So, yes, this is how he would lure them.
So, this is, all of this information came after, like, he confessed?
Yes.
So, he just outright.
Nobody knew, like, anything. Nobody knew anything. Nobody noticed the killings. Nobody noticed the people going missing, or nobody reported anything. Nobody was like, there wasn't a case that police were working on saying, like, oh, these five women went missing in this area. It must be connected. Nothing. They had fucking nothing up to this point. In 2021, and he had already killed, like, over 20, 30 women.
Yeah.
He had thousands of bones buried under his house.
So do we know, like, I mean, enough to, for some of the victims to become literal bones, but, like, how long was this stretch?
They don't know that either. No.
Well, I mean, they got so much information out of him. What's stopping them from asking one more question? It's like, hey, how long have you been doing this, bitch?
People think that he'd been doing it since the 80s.
Jeez, man. He was, since so what, 80s. Like 40 years?
Yep.
And no one fucking caught him.
No one caught it.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
It's, I'm gonna get mad. Crazy. The reality is that after killing them, Andres Mendoza dismembered his victims and hid their bodies in the basement of an underground room in his home. There, over the years, lives and lives of innocent people for whom someone was waiting in their homes accumulated. So he had accumulating bodies and bones. In addition to the buried bones, the police found in his home a notebook where he kept account of his victims, their name, their age, and other details. So they were able to kind of connect some of the murders to the people that were missing. Photographs, official identification, clothing, shoes, and bags of many women he took the lives of were also found. He kind of kept them like as trophies.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a common thing too. Yeah. Like, supposedly, like the Mata Viejitas, she kind of did something similar.
Right, yeah, you talked about that, where she would like take something from the old woman and then like keep it as a trophy in her house.
Mm-hmm.
As if the above were not enough, recordings of this crimes were found.
He recorded them?
Yes. So in some of the videos, he recorded him killing some of the women, and some of them he was just walking around naked. Some of them he was and he got like sexual pleasure from killing women. Is what happened.
I hate this.
Yeah. Very uncomfortable.
I hate this.
Other objects that were found in his home are films from the saga of Hannibal Lecter, the fictional serial killer created by Thomas Harris, who ate the flesh of his victims, as well as a lot of anatomy books. It seems that he was inspired by Hannibal. We found many films in his room. Everything was taking kind of shape in the case. In addition, he also had anatomy books, which also explained why he was able to cut his victim so perfectly, declared one of the firefighters involved in the case. At the time of his arrest by the Attorney General's Office of the State of Mexico, Mendoza confessed to being a serial feminicide and having committed around 30 crimes of this nature. The detainee had been the president of the Citizens Participation Council of Atizapán de Zaragoza. At the time, he supported the municipal candidate of the Vapor Mexico Coalition, PRI, PAN, and PRD, Pedro Rodriguez Villegas, who distanced himself immediately from the criminal. So he was supporting this local politician, and as soon as he got arrested and said that he supported this this political campaign for Pedro Rodriguez Villegas, he was like, I don't know who that man is.
It's like, I've never met that man in my life.
He immediately said, I don't know who the fuck that is. From his place of detention, Mendoza has left quote-unquote memorable phrases such as, listen to this motherfucker, nothing can be remedied, and what has already been done, you just have to put up with it. One repents, but it's too late.
So it's like him saying, like, what are you going to do about it?
It's real fucking funny for somebody that killed so many people to be up there saying that. He doesn't feel bad. He obviously does not feel bad about anything that he did. The above not only reflects the mentality of a murderer, but also of a country and ineffectual justice model that does not offer security and guarantees to millions of women in the state of Mexico. And this is very true, because he killed women and he was like, and what of it? Like, you guys are gonna fucking do anything about it.
Yeah. And that's fucking what I fucking crazy. Hate when nobody really takes these, like, femicides seriously, because it does have a cascading effect in society where it kind of gives, like, this idea of, oh, well, if they don't care, then it's okay for me to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I felt like there is recounts of, like, the things that he did, but I think, like, they're so morbid and so gory. I didn't want to, like, describe how he killed a woman.
Does no, we sense? Don't have to do that.
Like, I know that, like, there are some true crime podcasts that, like, really milk it. Like, he killed this woman and he did this to her and then he did that to her. But I'm like, that was a person.
Yeah.
Like, let's not glorify the things that they did and like, talk about, like, the impact. Obviously, he hurt a lot of these women. A lot of these families that didn't know what happened to their families or their wives, their daughters, their mothers for mm-hmm. a really long time until this came out in 2021. And I felt really weird because I had never heard of this before.
No,
like, I didn't to either. This point, I hadn't heard of this. And, like, a lot of the videos that I was watching and a lot of the, like, the resources that I was looking at, which I'll talk about here in a bit because I forgot to say it at the beginning. But people kept mentioning, like, oh, this shook Mexico. Everybody, like, was talking about it because so many people ate human meat. Like, he had distributed so much, like, meat for consumption that was human meat that it was, like, in the hundreds.
Oh, my God.
And so people were really fucking shook. They were like, holy shit. But I never even knew about it. At all.
Yeah.
So this man was weird anyways, because there were some, like, I didn't put notes down or anything, but there were a lot of people that lived by him that most people thought that he was a good person. They were like, oh, like, he's really nice, he's real quiet. But there are some people that lived right next door to him or women that knew him that said that he made them very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That there were women that lived next door. There was especially this woman was talking about that, like, her tía never liked going near him because she's like, no me gusta como me mira ese señor. I don't like how he's looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, there were some people that just had feelings. They were like, this is fucking weird. There's a couple of women that he invited into his house that he would put porn videos on. And he would to them. And so they would, like, run away. And this was something that came out after he was caught mm-hmm. and after he was arrested. Like, nobody talked about any of this before.
I mean,
and that just goes to show that, like, this is how seriously people take women in Mexico. Like, yeah. They didn't even feel like they could talk about it because nobody was going to listen to them.
Yeah, everyone kind of has those neighbors where it's like, oh, they're a little weird. But it's not like until something actually, like, major happens that's when people come forward and they're like, you know what? I did know he was fucking weird and I was right.
Yeah. And another thing that, like, was reported is that when people would walk by his house had a smell.
Mm-hmm.
It smelled like feces or, like, dead body. Like, people kept referencing, like, perro muerto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they said, como que olía perro muerto. And so, like, afterwards, people understood because he probably had the bodies of these women rotting in his basement. But for the people that rented the rooms from him, nobody noticed anything or nobody said anything.
Were there any, like, survivors of his? Like,
nope.
So anyone that went in was not coming out.
Yeah, other than the woman that said that he was watching porn videos.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think he was trying to attack her in that way. Like, it was like he was really drunk. He was just
being a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he was just really drunk and invited her in. And she was like, oh, hell no. No, put that dick back away. And then I'm going to get out of here. She was like, I'm out. And left.
Mm-hmm.
So, just this, like, this case shook me. I was like, what the fuck is going on? It's like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know what case to do. I don't know what to talk about. Like, we've talked about everything. And then you run into a case like this and you're like, this was in 2021 and the police did not give a fuck about these women still in 2021. 40
years of him doing this. And they're like, guys, what was that?
Oh, fuck. Oops. Oops, guys.
And I bet you there were more people and they may have come forward. But like you said, they were nobody women, so attention. Nobody paid attention.
Yeah. It's like people get into this, like, oh, lo estaba buscando. Mira cómo va vestida. Mm-hmm. Like,
ugh.
the thing that I think about, like, men and sometimes other women do this to other women. Mm-hmm. Ay, no, mira cómo va vestida.
Well, most of the time,
I could have my fucking pussy out if I want to, but don't touch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not permission for you to touch my ass.
Yeah.
Well, I feel good about the way that I look and I want to have it out or be all covered up. Don't fucking touch me. Like, I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. Mm-hmm. I feel good. I feel confident about myself. I like the clothes that I'm wearing. Why the fuck does it matter to you that my belly button is showing or that my ass crack is showing? Like, mind your own fucking business.
Yeah. I think it's very telling. In my personal experience, it's very telling of what type of women would put another woman down for the approval of a man. Because usually that's what it
turns out to. That's what it is, yeah.
It's an approval of a man.
Women don't know, or like a lot of the older generation don't know that, like, they are pick-me's. They're basically pick-me's. They're like, oh, look at me. I'm not like other women. I'm like one of the guy women, you know? Like, men are going to treat you the same regardless. If you're the girl that has a bunch of guys that are friends that are gamers, or you're not like the other girls, you're still a woman, like, at the end of the day. Don't
have that mentality, please.
You're still a woman at the end of the day. The women, older women that act like this, you're still a woman at the end of the day. People get so confident in thinking, like, I'm the exception to the rule because I'm different. Baby, let me burst your bubble. At the end of the day, males are always going to see them as females. Other people of different colors are always going to see you as Mexican, Latino, whatever it is. Like, you are not special.
No matter how much you try to fit in with the group, they're still going to see you as the other. End,
if they're at risk or if they have something to say, they're going to put your head on the chopping block.
And that's what I was going to kind of say about this guy in particular. He was doing this for 40 years, and it didn't become a problem until it was a problem for the state.
For the
police. And in this case, it was the police.
It was the police. It was his wife.
Exactly.
That's the only reason. And, like, when I was reading, so I was watching a video of, like, him recounting, and it was, like, terrible. That's why I was like, I don't even want to put this in there. But, like, he went to his house, and he's like, no, I haven't seen your wife. And he was like, well, her cell phone is here, and she said she was going with you to Mexico City to go pick up supplies, and she's been missing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know. So he fucking punched him and busted the door down to get in his house. It says, se metió como pudo, because they don't want to talk about how that policeman punched the shit out of this man's face and then walked into his house and found his wife on a table cut up.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Not even, like, he didn't even go in there as a policeman. He went in there as her husband.
Yeah.
That, to me,
there's so many layers to this, and I hate it.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. I was having such a hard time, like, looking for, obviously, you knew, like, I'm like, I don't know what to do my case on this month. Like, I really don't know. Like, I kept watching videos and videos and videos, and then this one caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at a different true crime case.
Yeah.
Of another guy that was also eating women. But then this one was like, oh, this guy's bad, but, like, this guy was worse. And it happened in 2021. And I was like, wait, who is that? I've never heard of this man before.
And you would think something that recent, it's like, we would have at least seen a TikTok of
it. Yes. And I clicked on it, and bitch, I was hit with all of this shit. So one of my sources of information was the video is a video by Hey Esty. And Hey Esty did a really good job of, like, you know how she usually does her content where she's like, it's like her point of view, like, she's like Twitch streaming, kind of, like, mm-hmm. She's got a camera on her, she's in front of her computer, and she'll talk about, like, she's one of my favorite YouTubers, everybody, so, but anyway, she'll talk about her case or, like, stories that people send in. In this one, you did not see her face. She narrated the whole thing. There was words so you could read them, and there was pictures in the back, but she never showed it. She's like, this case is so serious that I don't think it needs to be presented in my usual manner. Like, this has to be presented in a different way to show respect for the people that recently just passed away or were murdered.
Yeah.
Or the people that are still, like, family members of these people that are still, they're still impacted. Alive. It's 2021. They're
still impacted by it. I mean,
yeah.
Something like that recent, even if, say it was like a relative, and say they had gone missing 10 years ago, to find out how they died, or to find out that something this fucked up and this terrible happened to them, kind of opens up those wounds again.
And just think about it too. He wasn't killing anybody far away from his house.
Mm-hmm.
This was all people in his neighborhood.
His community.
So, like, to know that your mom, your daughter, your sister, your cousin, your grandma, whatever, like, whatever woman this was in your life, was her body was literally two blocks away from your house this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to murder that fucking man.
And I would.
I would find his family and torch up the rest of his family, even though they've had nothing to do with this man for like 30 years.
Mm-mm.
You know what? Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud because it kind of sounds like a threat, but like, I'm just trying to put myself in the mind of like,
the FBI is victim. On the way, bitch.
Oh my God. No, because like, seriously, like what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
What was going on? Okay. Anyways, let me finish up.
Sorry, continue.
A judge from the judicial district of Tenango de Valle issued this sentence in March 2022 after reviewing the evidence collected, provided, and presented by the public ministry agent of the Specialized Femicide Prosecutor's Office. They also imposed fines of 5,000 days of minimum wage and 1,344,500 pesos as reparation for the damage and their civil and political rights that were also suspended. Other notable quotes from Feggio Trotsky is, "It was hatred, a very marked hostility towards the female figure. In tests administered to him, he said that women were cold and manipulative, and they had always changed their mind and chosen men richer than him. He never had a partner. He always looked for women in places like table dances. He preferred plump women weighing about 70 kilos and up, young and attractive. He has a very transparent look, which serial killers do not have. He keeps his gaze on you. He was very happy. At first, I thought it wasn't him. There is low self-esteem in him. He doesn't feel physically adequate. This lack of self-esteem became fantastic when he helped and he was a great caretaker of society. The act of killing was an act of revenge on women. He had sexual satisfaction when he killed a victim and recorded it. It was like he was so mad that women didn't pay attention to him his whole life that he took it out on any woman."
Which is so fucking weird. Even that concept itself. It's like, girl, you feel inadequate and somehow that's everyone else's problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, this problem is within you, but you made it everybody else's problem.
Exactly. What the
Why?
Fuck?
Why? Another thing that I covered or like I saw in my research is that if a woman, obviously he's an older man, mm-hmm. and he was going after like this 30-year-old young woman that's like, you know, in the prime of her life. And he was like, "Hey, girl." And they were like, "Hi, no, thank you." And then he would kill them.
What the
fuck? Like, be for fucking real. Like, you live in a pigsty.
And he's like, "I'm a cat." He's like, "I'm a cat."
Wake the fuck up, bro. Like, punch at your level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing?
Anyway, fucking continue.
Crazy. This case to me was fucking crazy.
And the thing is like, all of these experiences can easily be translated in so many cultures, not just Mexico,
mm-hmm.
but in so many situations we've seen where men do this. Like, somehow, like, serial killers, mostly men, will have that same mentality where it's like they feel like they have feelings of inadequacy or that some other man won the yeah. prize being another woman and somehow he has to make it everyone else's problem.
Yeah. And we want to note, I want to especially note this, and I hope that like our primos, specifically anyone that's male or identifies as male, mm-hmm. any of our primos out there, if you ever hear a woman talking and they say, "Oh, men," and your first immediate thought is like, "Oh, not all men, not me. Why the fuck are you feeling so guilty about what they're talking about?"
Mm-hmm.
If you know, you have the understanding that if they're like, you don't do the things that they're talking about, like, why is it hurting you?
Yeah.
Guilty consciences know no accuser. So if you're feeling some type of way about somebody saying all men and you having to say, "Not me," it's because you're doing the same shit or you're thinking about doing it.
Well, I mean, if someone were to say, like, "Oh, you know, all men are this," and you try to correct them, it's like, girl, you know what they meant.
Like, why are you
don't
feeling
try to
so
defend
guilty
them.
About it?
Like,
why are
you really
so guilty?
You really want to associate with the men that you know she's talking about? Because that "not all men" thing is kind of implied.
Yes.
But in the sense, like, as I think I remember, I saw a TikTok about it where a woman was explaining if she's like late at night walking home from a bar or something and she sees a group of guys, she's not gonna know which group this men, like these men are associated with. Are they the good guys, or are they the potentially want the potentially the ones that will kill her? Like, so not to take risks, she's just gonna assume
that all of them are the bad guys.
All of them are the bad guys. Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
it's for safety.
Put yourself in a woman's shoes. Like,
that reminds me.
What?
About what you just said, like, put yourself in a woman's shoes. So one of our friends, we went out to dinner with recently, and we were talking. I think she has like 2 weeks of vacation that she has scheduled out, and she was originally going to Egypt, right, to visit friends. What the fuck was that?
He had a little cough.
He sneezed?
Yeah, I think so.
Leo, are you okay?
Psst. Hey.
He's okay.
Okay.
So she was initially going to Egypt to visit family and friends, I think. And, but she said with everything going on with the Palestinian occupation, she wants to go somewhere else. And I'm like, well, what's like certain things that you look for in a location? And I said, for me, stupidly, I fucking said, I was like, oh, for me, it's food and good transportation and have the good museums.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a fucking idiot and I don't understand my own privilege. And for her, she's like, I wouldn't rank them like that. For me, number one is safety because I'm a woman. And I was like,
yeah, she said,
I'm so sorry.
She said, I look up to see how safe that place is for a woman.
Especially if she's a Muslim woman. So it's like, that's another layer to it.
Yes. And I mean, like, That was kind of eye-opening for me, too, when she mentioned it, because it's like, we've never thought about that
before. I've never thought of that. I mean, we're two guys.
Just two bros.
Shut the fuck up.
Living in a house together. 5 feet apart, because we're not gay.
Yeah.
Actually, we're married.
Gay. Sounds gay. Well, anyway, back to what I was saying, though. That was just something of my privilege that I hadn't considered. Even as something as simple as traveling. Like, for someone to plan a vacation and have to take their safety into consideration, that's big. And that's a shared experience with a lot of women or people that identify as women. Sorry, continue. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to say, like, we've all heard the men are trash thing that people, like, say sometimes, you know, like, as a joke or they're being serious. Like, you have your coworkers and they're like, oh, I just went on a date last night and, like, that man was trash. All men are trash. Why are men like this? I have never assumed that I was included in that group of men. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't belittle women. I don't do those things. I try to help protect women. You know what I mean? Is especially when I see like something indignant happening to them, like in their personal lives or like at work. If someone says something inappropriate, like I'm the first one to back them up. And to me, like I know and I understand and I have nothing to feel guilty about when they say men are trash, because literally all I do is turn around, I'm like, girl, isn't that right? Men are trash. They should never see the light of day. And I'll keep it going. And it's like, so we need to get away. Like, guys, if you feel so inclined when a woman says all men, please do not say not me. Just know that they're not including you. Yeah. And then ask yourself, why am I feeling guilty about this? Am I doing something? Why am I
feeling attacked?
Yes. Why am I feeling attacked? What am I doing that it hit me really close, you know? Like, why do I feel like...
What are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you doing to work against those stereotypes?
And not to attack yourself, be introspective. Think about, like, why am I really feeling this way? Like, really dig down and figure out and have a conversation with your loved ones. Like, what's going on? Or have a conversation with somebody that you trust. I've been learning a lot in therapy, y'all. A lot.
Period.
So anyways, that's all I have. Let me tell you what my sources of information
were. Was that it?
Were.
I'm
yes,
sorry.
It was pretty short.
So was he sentenced? Like, where is he at?
In Mexico. In jail. For 1,000 years.
No way. Is that how much his sentence was?
Yeah. I said... So he went to jail, but they imposed 5,000 days of minimum wage, and he owed 344,500 pesos as reparation to all of the people that he hurt. So he's working in jail right now, trying to pay back his 344,000 pesos.
Damn.
At minimum wage. So he's going to be working for the rest of his life.
So that's how he gets out? He just pays off his debt? I don't know if I like that.
At minimum wage? Hold on. Let me see. Let me calculate how many days that is. I'm over here trying to do math. So I just looked it up. In 2022, Mendoza was convicted of the murders and sentenced to life imprisonment. And then he also has to pay back the money that they told him for reparations. Mm-hmm. In June of that same year, so June of 2022, it was reported that a number of skeletal remains found inside the house increased to 44,600, which were presumed to belong to about 19 people, 17 women, a child, and a man. So it's about 20 people that he killed.
Oh my God. 4,600 remains.
That they have found so far. And what about in Oaxaca?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. I fucking hated it.
Yeah, it was not great. Anyways, I feel like that was a little heavy. What do you have for a palate cleanser at the end of the episode? Dang, I forgot. I was supposed to... My sources.
Okay.
The places that I got some information was Todo sobre el caso de Andrés Mendoza, el carnicero de Atitzpan by Hey Esti, infobay.com, en la mente del caníbal, Andrés Mendoza confesó a psicóloga los motivos para matar a tantas mujeres por más de 30 años, and muyinteresante.com, an article about Andrés Mendoza.
Okay, well, thank you. Sorry, back to like palate cleanser. I guess I kind of wanted to lean into away from it a little by little, but the Matevejitas that I mentioned, mm-hmm. we covered it. It was like the second episode, right?
I think it was recent.
No, it was not. It was like the second episode. This was like 2020.
Okay.
Well, anyway, that was 3 years ago, but anyway.
I feel have you not heard that that year doesn't really count?
It counts for the podcast.
Okay. Okay, okay.
There's a documentary about it on Netflix that we watched. So I recommend people watching that. I think it was really well done. Oh, I think we mentioned this before. Anyway, I just wanted to shout out.
We've done so many episodes. Sometimes I'm like,
it's like, talk about this
already? My mom, sometimes she's like, I know. Ese señor como platica lo mismo y lo mismo. And I'm like, that's me. Because literally, like, now at this point, we've done so many episodes. I don't remember what I've already talked about and mentioned.
Sometimes we might contradict ourselves.
But you know what? We change, you know? Yeah. Like, an opinion maybe I had in 2020 might be the same now.
That's true.
So.
I'm just in a silly little goofy mood.
Yeah.
Before, I was insane.
A silly little goose. A little honk.
No, I'm still insane. But do you have anything that you wanted to mention?
No, I kind of mentioned at the beginning of the episode.
Christmas, the end of Christmas. It ended. We never put our Christmas tree up.
We actually did not put our Christmas tree up this year. And I feel like it's because we've already got 1 foot out the door because we're moving to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how I am right now.
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. I think also, I mean, I work from home, so I can't use that excuse of like, oh, we're never home. But honestly, as soon as I clock out of work, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to lay down and play a video game.
Well, I mean, like, don't you remember when I worked from home when I was getting laid off? Mm-hmm. That, to me, was, like, some of the most depressing time for me, I think. Yeah. It was, like, when I was low.
I think I was kind of going through something similar earlier this week.
It just doesn't feel good to work from, like, you know, mi respetos to the people that can work from home. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's hard to separate work and home when you work from home. Your office is there.
It's not really that either. Like, I think for me, it's like the disconnect of like socialness.
Yeah. You don't really talk to your coworkers like that, like you used to talk to the ones that you worked with,
right? Oh, no. I'd be talking to my old coworkers like crazy.
I mean, like, currently to your new coworkers, you don't talk to them. You still talk to your other ones.
Well, not really either. Like, I feel like once I left, like, there really isn't... I don't know.
Yeah.
I know I can reach out to them, but it's like sometimes it'd be nice to be reached out to.
Yeah. Love you, Emily.
I mean, I try talking to my coworkers... and I remember when I first started my other job, like my old job, the one prior, and I'm like, I don't know if I should tell my coworkers about the podcast. And because we knew people like in our personal lives there, it just kind of eventually came out.
Yeah.
but the people I work with are like all over the country. So I'm like, I don't think I'm going to tell them.
Yeah.
I'm cool with everyone. I'm cool with everyone, but I haven't met anyone that pisses me off yet.
Yeah.
Oh, there always is someone, though.
You know, I told you about my supervisor that she found out that I have a podcast. Obviously, because, like, I work with people that I knew before, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, oh, yeah, he has a podcast. She found out I had a podcast. And she's like, what's the name? I'm going to listen to it. And I was like, respectfully, Chrissy, you're not allowed to listen to my podcast. Not here and not at home. So don't. And to this day, she has not listened to one episode because she's like, I'm not going to listen to it until after you leave.
She might look at you though.
Fair enough. She's going to fire me. She's going to say, get the fuck out.
Nah.
I love that woman. Anyways, what's on your list?
Oh, sorry.
You forgot you had a list.
Did you hear about book talk drama?
Yes.
What do you know?
Book talk drama. I know that there are certain creators that, like, they obviously, like, they talk about book series and they talk about, like, the characters and they do reviews. Some of them get super into it. And then there are others that kind of just do reviews and say, if you like this one, read this one next. But I know sometimes they beef with each other.
No, like, that's not what I meant.
Well, I mean, I've been in book talk, and this is me talking about, like, from 2020 to now.
I'm talking about recent.
No, and I said, what I do don't you know? Know anything. No.
Okay, moving on then. Damn. You could have just said no.
You could have just been more specific then.
I said, did you hear about the recent book talk drama? Okay. And you said yes.
That was my selective hearing then.
Okay. I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay,
so
tell me anyway.
There was a writer that recently got caught giving negative reviews to other books because her book was going to come out. And she was using like an account that wasn't her name, but the reviews, like, it was someone that did like a whole bunch of research on it. I think Shiran J. Zhao, she wrote Iron Widow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they wrote Iron Widow. But the artist or the author, she started writing these negative reviews back in April, around the same time, I think, when her book was like finalized to be published. So the book has her book hasn't even come out yet. And she was giving negative reviews to like other books within the same genre.
Allegedly.
But other books, yeah, I guess allegedly. Her books had a lot of positive reviews from this one individual.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, I guess. And I guess she got caught and she was trying to fucking save face and say like, oh my God, that was my friend. That was my friend. Like, I'm so sorry. I didn't tell them to do that. And then they did like more digging and then they found out that that was not true, that it was really her allegedly. And I think she got dropped from her publisher. So now her book is not coming out.
See, because when you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite. Every time. Cuando haces cosas malas, las cosas malas te pasan a ti.
Period. There was another author that writes like young adult books, I guess, about mythological figures. That is planning on suing a black author for also having a character that quote unquote wields the power of the sun. Because I guess it's unique to her character. I don't fucking know. There's so many fucking mythological figures that have this ability. But for some reason, she thought hers was somehow the original. So she's suing a black author for having a similar trope in her book. Isn't that fucked? Why are you just looking at me?
Because I'm so fucking annoyed at these people that are like, I'm special. I'm the only one that thought of this. Shut the fuck up.
And it's always like,
everything at this point is a regurgitation of something else.
This is all a regurgitation of Percy Jackson.
Allegedly. Allegedly. We're not trying to get in legal trouble here.
So yeah, I thought that whole drama was funny because it's like, damn, the girls are fighting, I guess.
Okay, anyways. So sorry, primos, primas, and primas. Our neighbor is actually playing music, so if you can hear it in the recording, we apologize. We're just going to finish up right now.
Yeah, I've already talked to him and he doesn't care. So I'm just really excited to fucking move out of this fucking state. Anyway, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I want to lose weight.
Okay, that's a good one.
Maybe be more active. I feel like this year I've really gotten myself trapped into the whole, like, I've been like exerting a lot of force or giving 100% at work. And so by the time I get home, I can barely give 10%. And really, I feel like I need to balance myself better and give more to my personal life rather than just my work, my professional life, if that makes sense. Yeah. So just have more energy in my personal life and lose weight. My New Year's resolution.
Those are good.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know. I kind of want to not, I mean, in terms of like me, like anything that I want to change, I don't know, I guess be more confident, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Since we're moving back, since I'm moving back home, and you're coming with me. To make it seem like I'm just leaving you. Sorry.
I'm going to live in a cat tree here.
I want to, I'm going to have to, like, learn how to, like, make friends, I guess.
Yeah.
Because usually you make friends through, like, work. But it's going to be different if I work from home. So I'm going to have to find, like, things to do. And, like, I took a Korean class. So I don't know. Maybe I'll try to do something like that back home.
Okay.
So I guess that's my New Year's. Make friends.
Yeah.
Friends when we move.
Well, I hope all our primos, primas, and primes can make a resolution as well. It doesn't have to be fitness.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least try to make a positive change or a different change in what they're currently doing.
Also, sorry, we're going to have to cut this short quickly because
the neighbor's playing music really
turning
loud.
It up. But I want to work more on the podcast and like eventually like expand it. And I want merch just as much as everyone else that messages us. And they're like, where can I buy merch? I'm like, we don't have anything right now. Okay, we're poor.
Yep.
But I really want to expand that in the future. And hopefully 2024 will be the year that we actually finally fucking do it, right?
Yep. Perfect.
So, that's it. Sorry, we're cutting it short.
Okay, all right. Thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at Guestbooky Podcast and on Twitter at Guestbooky Pod. Also, email us any story suggestions or your own scary stories at guestbookypodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Taylor Turner for the artwork and Kyle Fields for the intro music. Don't forget to tell someone you love how much they mean to you. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Bye.